I got nothing but love for you, baby. I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Whatever.
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
What you got?
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Whatever.
I got nothing but love for you, baby. I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Whatever.
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
What you got?
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
And we've got a comedian who I am so happy to have on the show today. I just did her show earlier in the Lower East Side, Weep Comedy. Here we've got wonderful Chloe LaBranch.
Yes. Earlier you did it. It's a 7 a.m. show. 7 a.m. dark comedy show.
That's right.
Just coffee and rape jokes.
That's...
Good morning.
Yeah, that show needs to come with a trigger warning.
Love it.
Yeah, but it was a fantastic show, and I had a great time. I'd say there was just a lot of dark comedy there,
of course,
is perfect. You know, I mean, there's a niche for everyone, and I wish that I had more traumatic material.
Oh, yeah, you wish you had more traumatic life experience
That's
to pull
right.
from.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah,
I've always told you that, Gabe. I feel like you're way too well-adjusted to be...
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be doing this.
I mean, you just called his moving traumatic, yeah. So...
I don't know that you saw my reaction to that. I didn't know how to respond.
You gotta get out more, man.
Yes.
For the record, Gabe lives off the G train. There's no trauma off the G train.
No, it's a very calm and peaceful.
It's just hugs. Just hugs and pierogies on this side.
That's right. Polish people are the most well-adjusted people in New York.
Super hospitable.
Yes.
Especially if you look Jewish.
So here we are, and we are going to be covering a movie that Chloe picked for us today, Legends of the Fall. And as always, before we get into the film, we like to talk about the year that it came out, which is why we did that little jump off with Jim Carrey earlier. But anything else you remember about this year, either of you?
Yes. The Rangers won the cup, baby, 1994.
Sure. And I see Rangers fans all the time.
You said that like I could have been lying.
No.
You're like, okay, sure. Okay, crazy lady.
Are you from New York?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So you see Rangers fans all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just clog the streets around 34th whenever there's a game.
They're all like 5'3 and named Sean.
Yeah, they all look like plainclothes cops.
Okay.
They probably are plainclothes cops.
Just attack the only thing I said today. No.
Are you a huge hockey fan?
I'm not a huge hockey fan. I'm more of a front runner, I'd say.
Yeah.
So like once they're in the playoffs, I'm like, let's do this, bro. But I did grow up playing ice hockey.
Nice.
So.
Yeah. Did you, so that's fantastic. What position did you play?
I played right wing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Speed and skill.
No, I lied. I played left wing.
Ooh,
sorry.
Way different.
And then I played defense. I was all over the map. I was a bit of a psychopath on the ice.
Now, did you find that there was a lot of violence on the ice?
it was very traumatic, mini mites.
Were you the one
that pull from?
Did you instigate the fights?
No. Well, what happens is in hockey, you don't pee wee when you're like, I don't know, 14 or no, younger, like 13. That's when checking starts. So that's when you start hitting. And I was too small to. I played with the boys until I was like 13, and then I was too small to play as a pee wee. So they wouldn't let me play with the boys and do checking. So I like cried a lot.
Right.
You were like, fine, I'll figure skate like a stupid little bitch.
Uh-huh.
And my voice was just too deep for figure skating, so I just gave up all ice sports.
For like your post-skate interviews?
Right. They're like, you did a great job. I love that double Lutz.
Yeah.
I love your outfit. You know, everything about what you're doing was great.
She's like, thanks, everyone.
No, yeah. I'd fall and I'd be like, run the Celine Dion track again. Nobody sleeps until I land.
I remember, I love hockey, so I remember hearing that the Rangers, this is like the Messier one, yeah?
Oh, of course.
I think. And they left their Stanley Cup at a strip club because they all got wasted.
Oh, that's great. I love strip clubs.
Sure. You go to Pumps?
Mm-mm. It's kind of like a fake strip club.
Sure.
I don't really
that's
go to...
That's the hipster strip club.
I don't go to strip clubs anymore, but I used to go to this strip club that was next door to this nightclub on the West Side Highway on like 23rd Street.
Yeah.
There was a strip club next door, and like sometimes I couldn't get into the nightclub, so I would just go to the strip club. And it's a great place to drink. I was like wearing a lot of Hawaiian shirts at the time. Not a lesbian, but I was a little overweight and very into cocaine. So I was just like sweating in Hawaiian shirts at a strip club. I would say living my best life.
Sure.
So you were like John Goodman, basically.
Yeah. Actually, one time I...
John Candy.
I know.
Or Farley.
The last time I wore a dress, I think going out, I used to wear like heels and dresses when I was younger when I would go out. And then
during the ice hockey days.
Yeah. And then I was outside of that strip club, I remember, and I fell. And you know those like just street puddles of Manhattan that are there when it's not even raining? I fell into one of those street puddles and it was literally sewage and I was so drunk. I took off my dress and threw it in the puddle and I was just wearing my underwear. And someone was like, "You gotta go home." I was like, "No, I work here."
Nobody offered you a job? They're like, "No, you should come back in."
They're like, "She looks like she's too good of a relationship with her dad. She's not gonna make us any money."
Oh, you know, right where the Williamsburg Bridge lets off in Chinatown on the Manhattan side. Okay. And I had I was with two friends, and we were all exiting our job that day. We're walking up the street, and there was one of those puddles, those street puddles, and then this. This big, delivery truck rode through it and splashed the puddle directly at eye and mouth level. And like me and one of my friends had our mouths closed, but the third friend, not so lucky, got splashed right down the gullet. Bad. Yeah.
That's gross. Amber Nelson has this joke that I always remember. She says, you know, when you're walking down the street and a phantom drop of water falls into your mouth, that's how you become homeless.
Yeah.
We've got that car alarm. Oh,
it's a bit of a dangerous neighborhood today.
Just to keep shit real.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, y'all enjoy the sounds of
somebody's
of
car.
Oh, there's my ride. No, that's stupid. I always say that when the ambulance comes by. I'm like, there's my ride. It's like my dad joke.
I was about to say my dad said that, I think.
Yeah, I know. Does your dad have a drinking problem?
No. So, I mean, he probably should.
Where does he pull that from? Mine's from life experience. It's the most expensive taxi you'll ever take, I'll tell you that much.
It's true.
Yeah, yeah. That's why if you need to go to the hospital, take an Uber. Don't take an ambulance.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
If you can.
If you're not bleeding out, take a pool. That's what I always say. Sorry, this is the lightest I've been in a while.
No, I love that.
We need this.
Wait till 11 p.m. This is me at noon. So.
Yeah.
Sorry.
First cup of coffee. Mm. And
that comedy show wasn't really at 7 a.m., was it? The rape joke coffee one? Because if so, where do I sign up or how do I get tickets?
It's genius. I got to plug to my co-host, Sarah Armour. We got to get that going.
Yeah, so
just DM you guys and figure that shit out.
Weep is on Wednesdays. It's 7:30.
So I'm doing your show. I can't wait this Wednesday.
That's right.
Sarah's doing she's doing the stand and Caroline's, I think. So neither of us are going to Weep this week.
Sure.
We're just not going.
So who's your guest host?
We're not gonna have one. We're just gonna let the comedians kind of show up and deal with the manager.
Yeah.
Fight for themselves. No, I'm kidding. Pete Liddell's gonna host.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. I kind of like the other idea that you had, though, that it's this sort of children, what is Lord of the Flies?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
Open mic style?
I mean, yeah.
The inmates running the asylum?
Someone reached out to me who's in town from L.A., and they're like, can I do a spot on Weep on Wednesday? And I was like, you can, but I don't know if you want to.
Did they reach out with the, hey, heard great things about the show. Here's my bio. Here's 15 things that I've worked on and a clip, video clip that you're never going to watch.
No, he's actually done it before.
Okay, so.
He's like a pretty good comic in L.A. and he actually did Weep last time he was here and he messaged me and he was like, I'd love to do Weep again. I was like, are you sure?
Yeah, there are gluttons for punishment out there. That's great.
Yeah,
we'll see. What? R. Kelly, man. You'd think that, how long has this guy been around? 1994. Bump Forever. And grind.
How? Oh my God, so he must be like in his 40s.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
He's
closer to 50, isn't he?
He's got to be at least.
Yeah.
He's got to be 73 years old.
Wow.
He's been peeing on people for a real long time.
I love that. He has so many jellyfish. She got stung by a jellyfish. She wasn't underage.
I keep them in Chicago in my aquarium.
Yeah.
Whenever he wants to pee on a girl, he throws a jellyfish on her first. It's like, I was helping.
I was trying to help her.
Yeah. What? Let a man be a hero. All right?
He's like the pedo Hugh Hefner or Steve Irwin, I guess.
Sure.
Was Hugh Hefner do you say pedo, like a pedophile? Mm-hmm. That's what they say in the UK. That's what they call, pedophiles, pedophiles.
That's right. He is like a Hugh Hefner.
Hugh Hefner was a pedo?
I think he was, he liked, it was a different time, different culture, who knows. I think he was into 17-year-olds.
I love that excuse.
What's, is pedo for people who like to take advantage of puppies?
Pedo, pedo.
Pedos. It sounds
That was so dark. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Don't apologize for that.
94, good year.
Sabotage came out.
What's that?
That's the Beastie Boys song.
Listen, I was like 4.
I know. So. Yeah, you weren't even playing ice hockey yet.
I was. I started playing hockey when I was 4.
Wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So they put, before you could even walk well, they put you in skates and they were like, get out there.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. It was great.
Yeah.
In 94, the Beastie Boys were actually credited with coming up with the term mullet. They're in the Oxford's English Dictionary for coming up with that term. I don't know how.
Wow.
Sure. I don't even know what the etymology of a mullet is.
It's business in the front, party in the back.
Yeah. Right. Like, but that wouldn't, but yeah. But how do you
etymology is how the word begins. Yeah, how do you
create the word mullet?
I haven't heard like a dictionary-based word in like 6 years.
Yeah. Mullet. But we also have, the crime bill, 1994. Joe Biden came out there and was like, we need to be tougher on crime, everybody. And creating, you know, states' incentives for more mass incarceration. So he's running for president now and will probably disavow this thing that he did.
Like all the stuff that he did.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally not a single good thing has he done.
In Florida, a 75-pound bag of cocaine fell out of an airplane into a Tallahassee drug watch meeting.
In 94?
94, yeah. Oh.
Wow. Good times. This was like a rehab meeting?
No, I mean, it was more of like a crime watch meeting about drugs in the community. And they got hit with a 75-pound bag of irony.
It's wonderful.
Just like smack the speaker in the podium in the face?
Yeah.
That's God on vacation.
And they all became incredibly addicted to cocaine after that.
It's one snort.
It's a fucking slippery
slope. I don't
think
cocaine's addictive. I'm not a doctor, but I do have a nose.
I mean, it's just coffee when you're drunk. It just clears your head at 2 in the morning, right?
Yeah,
so
better.
You can keep drinking.
It's better in the morning.
Okay. When you got to go to work?
Before a nice weep comedy.
Well, we're here today to talk about Legends of the Fall. I'm so excited that you brought this movie up. And Chloe, what is your why? Why are we covering this today?
Because I'm generally super happy. And I love that, like, in 94, the movies that were out was, like, The Mask, Pet Detective, Dumb and Dumber. And I'm like, let's choose the saddest movie of 94. I love this movie. This is, like, one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah.
I used to watch this in high school. Because I was obsessed with, like, a good cry.
Yeah.
I didn't know what one was, because I like to think maybe I was a sociopath as a child, but dare to dream. And I was like, from when I was little, I was like, fuck you, Santa Claus. No, I'm kidding. Great guy. But I, me and all my friends, I went to boarding school, and we were obsessed with Legends of the Fall. You know, all my friends would be like, we thought we were so cool to be like, yeah, let's cry tonight.
Nice. Was this a single-sex boarding school?
It was co-ed.
Yeah.
And we didn't have cell phones because there was no cell service in the town that the school was in.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't, like, text the boys.
So pretty rural.
Yes. Yes. It was in Connecticut.
Uh-huh. In a mountainous region?
It was in this town called Lakeville, like in Litchfield County.
Yeah.
And so
you had one VCR.
No. We watch it on our computers.
Yes.
I'm not that old, man.
So you had...
we are.
We'd watch it on like our computers in our room.
So you had 5 laptops open.
No, my friend...
Like a circle of hackers.
One of my friends had a huge desktop, like one of those big Mac desktops, and we'd watch it in there.
Yeah. Great speakers, though, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The rooms are like tiny. Like the room is probably... It's cool. Like 3/4 the size of this room.
Yeah.
I mean, not calling this room tiny.
Like a monastic cell.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're all cramped into this one room, and you all decided that
there's
it was time
like
to
three
cry.
Of us.
Three
of us.
Yes.
Me and my crew.
Yeah.
And I like that your picture of this in your head is just very different.
Yeah, than the real thing.
Than the reality.
Yeah. Well, I see what I'm seeing now is one big laptop monitor screen that is, or a monitor screen that's the size of the wall of a very small, narrow room, and your crew of three
is squat.
Stacked on in a bunk bed. So it's like
leveled
seating.
Okay, sure.
Yes.
We'll let him have it, right?
Yeah, please.
We'll let him have it.
Yeah. And
whatever makes you come. No. This...
Just let him finish.
Ooh. You should come do a weep. It's funny.
Yeah, so you're watching Legends of the Fall.
Now, can I, like, when you, like, happened upon this movie, did you think it was just, like, this, like, banquet of, like, man meat covered, you know, or did you understand what
that
it was
going to be? Such a statement. Sorry. Banquet of man meat.
I thought that this movie was.
I love that. I mean, it is. It was because my boyfriend at the time was like, have you ever seen Legends of the Fall? It's so good. And so I watched it, and I was like, this movie's so good. And I watch it probably, like, once a year. And every time it gets me. It's so long, too, and everybody in it's so hot.
It is so long.
Did you guys just watch it?
Yes.
Had you never seen it?
Nope.
I had seen it, snippets of it, but I'd never sat down to watch this movie.
Did you like it?
It was just on TV. I will tell you that there were elements of it that I liked.
Oh, you didn't like it? Did you like it?
I was pleasantly surprised by this movie.
I know, right?
It was a fucking stone-cold bummer. And I was like watching it in the middle of a move, and I was already kind of annoyed, and I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, they just fucking...
It's heavy, huh?
It's a lot to deal
with.
When
Samuel dies, when he gets caught in that fence...
That was the funniest part of the movie.
There's so much shit we can talk about. This
the suicide in it, the murder.
Right.
I feel like we should make this podcast as long as the movie.
I mean,
just to pay it forward.
I can make a whole podcast about Legends of the Fall.
Like several.
There is so much information.
We're
going
to try right now.
So I Googled it today just to like see. I just Googled Legend of the Fall trivia today, and there's a lot of crazy shit. So Julie Ormond, who plays. Do you want me to?
Yeah,
am I jumping?
Yeah. No, please.
Do you want to do a synopsis?
For anybody that hasn't seen Legends of the Fall, I don't know why you're
why
listening.
Why the fuck are you listening?
But if you have seen it, if you haven't seen it, it's an epic. It's a melodramatic epic that kind of spans like maybe a 15-year period of American history from 1910 to 1925.
Absolutely not.
Really?
Yeah, because the movie ends in 1963.
That scene is about 15 seconds long. Okay, so you're absolutely right. The movie spans 1915 to 1963.
I love conflict, you know? Especially in the parameters of this podcast, because I know Gabe is a yes.
I'm like, absolutely not.
Fuck that.
Okay, so there's yes. Okay,
pull your head out of your ass. 1963.
Yeah. Wow. So. So it goes to 63, but really, like, there isn't any anti-war rock in that last 1963 part or anything.
That's no 6 days, seven nights, man.
Yeah, yeah. And but the movie follows this colonel who decides to leave the army after he's disgusted with his part in exterminating Indians to, like, you know, conquer the West.
Colonel Ludlow.
Yeah, Colonel Ludlow, my man.
Roosevelt.
Yeah, Anthony Hopkins. He decides to go and set up his own, homestead and build this big log cabin mansion in Montana. And he's got three sons and a wife and an Indian, Native American servant. And an outlaw named Decker, who has an Indian wife, and all of them live together in harmony until the wife says, I've had enough of living with just an outhouse in the middle of the West, and she leaves. She abandons her three boys and her husband, and so now it's Anthony Hopkins as this patriarch of this big family. And
I've definitely dated Isabels before.
Sure.
Oh, yeah?
Sure.
And so the story just follows like
sorry for your loss.
Oh no, don't be. I'm sorry for theirs.
Yes. Yeah. These three dudes, you know, they're brothers, and they have relationships and conflicts, and there's love triangles.
You give up. You're giving up.
There's a war. I mean, who cares? You know, you guys can synopsis. You can Wikipedia.
Yeah.
You give up. Movie. It's a really intricate, long.
Gabe, I thought that was great.
Yeah.
What else could you do with that? That's perfect.
It's baggy and flabby, the script. But there's something in it for everyone.
There really is.
There's absolutely no comedy in it, however.
Unfortunately.
I don't think there's one joke.
But
I laughed at myself almost crying. Does that count?
This movie was not Schindler's List, everybody.
Did you not cry?
I didn't cry.
What were you doing when you watched it?
Well, I was pausing it a lot. But I do. I think I predicted several. So at a certain point, I realized, oh, this is a melodrama. The whole point is to jerk like tears out of you.
Yeah, that's why I love it.
Right, right. And so it's a like I know that my grandma loved this movie.
And you did?
I remember like because I lived in Wyoming. My grandmother's from Wyoming.
Okay.
So this is one of those movies that like people out west love watching. Because it romanticizes that sort of like Western lifestyle. But yeah, like this is like Titanic in the middle of Montana. That's how I felt about it. It's like, I feel like you'd watch both of these movies and for the heartstrings.
Yes.
I would say this is sadder than Titanic.
A lot
because,
sadder.
Because honestly, I didn't give a flying fuck about any of the people that died on that boat. But I kind of felt bad for Isabel too. That was the only character that I was like, oh, that's...
In Titanic?
No.
No.
Isabel 2.
I thought we were talking about Titanic. We're talking
Legends about... of the Fall. I feel like you didn't watch this.
I mean, yeah.
Because I feel like you didn't really watch this because Sammy over here is like, he cried.
I didn't cry.
He almost cried. This movie will get you. It will get men.
I didn't fucking cry.
Yeah. I feel like you did.
No, I would definitely share that with you guys.
So who were you, Team Samuel? Or Team Alfred?
I love Samuel. I thought Alfred was just annoying. I'm obsessed with Tristan, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tristan is so hot and so cool. He reminds me of, basically, he's very selfish. Very, very selfish, I think.
But that's why you like him.
That's why I love him. He reminds me of every drug addict I've ever met. And that might be too far, but he's so hot and he's so cool and he literally is so self-involved and he's just like it's such a bro of the 1920s or 10s.
Sure.
He's so cool. I love him. And it's Brad Pitt, obviously. So I love Samuel though. So Tristan is the oldest brother is Alfred. Alfred is kind of very anal, uptight, you know, whatever, wants to, like, keep the family going, does a lot of business, whatever. Then there's Tristan. Tristan's the middle brother, Brad Pitt. And Tristan is a very free spirit. He really gets along with the Native Americans. He loves to hunt. He has, like, long hair. He's just so hot and rugged. And then Samuel's the baby. Samuel goes off to Harvard.
Yeah.
And they're all, like, very protective of Samuel.
Sure.
Samuel brings back this woman who's like an educated woman that he meets at Harvard named Susanna. And Susanna is his fiance. Then the three brothers all go to the war. Samuel dies.
Yeah, he does.
So sad.
Well, because he's thirsting. He's on a death trip, though. Like, he just can't wait to go to the front line.
Yeah, yeah.
And he doesn't. It's crazy to me because he's already been in several battles. And he's seen how terrible it is to go over the top, but he's like, I cannot wait to send this message to some people, like, behind enemy lines.
Yeah.
So he's a dummy for volunteering.
Well, they get back. Tristan is, like, so upset that he didn't get to protect his brother, so he goes on his journey. We all been on a journey like Tristan. And
yeah, it's like his gap year between.
Yeah,
he comes home and he tells.
He goes to South Africa.
Yeah, well, he tells
bungee jumping twice in his unprotected sex.
He did Kilimanjaro.
He's sure. Definitely involved in threesomes, which we see.
Yeah, and opium dens apparently.
That's the best.
Yeah.
So and then Susanna is like all broken, but then she starts dating. She gets engaged to Alfred. I believe the oldest brother. Then Tristan comes home. She falls in love with Tristan. They start banging. Alfred and her move to the town because Tristan runs away again on his journey. You know, she's in love with Tristan. And then she just kills herself. Okay. This is a little very Britney Spears of her, 2007. Because she, like, cuts off all her hair before she shoots herself.
Sure. Why do that? You want to leave a pretty corpse.
Yeah.
Shoot yourself. It's not going to be pretty.
Right. Well, that's why you should take poison.
Oh.
I mean, we don't know what people are into.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, there's plenty more fish in the sea. How come none of her friends told her that? Like, yeah,
she's
there's
the only woman with a. Because
there was no
married.
Tinder, there was no dating app.
She's literally the only woman who's not eight or married within like 50 miles.
Yeah,
of these dudes.
I don't understand why she had to date every single brother in the family. Like, it was insane. It's like, why didn't she just leave? That is an abusive relationship. She's a masochist.
Yeah.
She's a fucking psychopath.
Yoko. You fucked that whole family up.
She's a psychopath, I think, actually.
I agree with you.
And then she makes it all about her at the end.
Yeah. Whoa. And also her biggest problem is that she just lacked patience. If she'd held out for 3 more years, Tristan would have been done killing zebras and monkeys and lions and elephants and come back home.
Yeah, but he fell in love with Isabel too.
Because Susanna wasn't home.
I don't know. I think he just liked her better.
Yeah.
Because I think like Susanna was kind of damaged goods. She'd fucked both of his brothers. And Isabel too was always in love with him. And she was like this young Indian girl, Decker's daughter.
Yeah.
And I think that's who he actually liked.
Well, he found out about her though on his return after Susanna had abandoned him.
I love
Alfred.
That scene. He's like, holy shit, you got hot. I like you.
Yeah.
I'll keep the puppy.
Also, what's up with how about no polyamory? You know?
Honestly, I don't know if I even think Julie Ormond's hot.
I didn't really get what all the fuss was about.
Yeah. She's the only woman.
She's not family ruining attractive.
Yeah.
In my book.
Why didn't these boys realize there's other girls in town?
That's what I'm saying, man. Yo, Helena's got to be full of hot Bettys.
Yeah.
You know, Alfred's successful businessman.
One. Tristan, I don't blame him. He doesn't like to go. He's not look. He's the type of guy who's going to wait for a woman to fall into his lap.
He's like Bill Clinton.
Okay.
He just goes for what's close.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, yeah, local.
I mean, I feel bad for Alfred because...
Oh, it's sad.
She tells him immediately, like, I'm just going to hurt you. So you cut bait automatically just as a life lesson. You know, if someone says they're only going to hurt you, they're probably only going to hurt you, so you should not stick around. Also, dude, you're never going to beat a fucking wild Italian staming, like taming fucking war hero, murderer, cowboy in yeah. Brad Pitt's body.
Yeah.
Never.
Who just genuinely doesn't care.
Brad Pitt's like, hi, my name's Tristan.
That is a dude you'll never.
I break mares. I break wild Mustangs.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll never. No one should ever go against him. Yeah. And it would also be a nightmare to date him.
Yeah.
Right. And everybody knows that, too. Like,
that's what I go for is Tristan's. And then the Doizin's terrible.
They're always like, I need to get on this boat right now and leave.
Yeah. They're like, huh? I gotta go murder a few people.
Sure. Well, fun. And I like that scene in the World War I scene where he goes a little crazy and paints his face and goes behind enemy lines and scalps a bunch of Germans. And you know what, though? Native Americans didn't really scalp people. That was something that the white guys did.
They just built that up? Or the white dudes did it?
Right, because they would get paid. They'd get paid bounties. And the way you prove how many Native Americans you killed was their scalps. So it was, and then it was a bad PR campaign. They were like, hey, guess what? Native Americans scalp people.
So it's just, they never it's did. Just a smear campaign.
It's a smear campaign.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Also, what's up with this one Native guy, one stab, who's narrating the story and is living exclusively for a white family? I found that kind of weird.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, why don't you go find some Cree people to hang out with?
Because he was, like, bougie, man.
He's
a bougie.
He's like...
That dude's like, fuck it, I ain't going back to the teepees.
What's all this cooked food?
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's
and,
that.
And Tristan was blowing him. I could see him... we could see some pedo.
Okay, maybe one stab. One
maybe
stab
he,
might
he
be...
he was in
love
with Tristan.
He might be a gay man. I could see that.
True,
you know?
Tristan?
No, not Tristan.
A one stab.
One stab was banging Tristan. Oh. That's why he couldn't leave. He fell in love.
Yeah.
I don't blame him.
Tristan's a sapiosexual. He goes for whatever's close.
Right,
honestly,
that's true.
Brad Pitt is so hot. I just watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay. Was
the
it okay?
Oh, man, I loved it. And yeah. Brad Pitt is so hot still. How old is he?
He's got to be 55.
Can I look it up?
Yeah, please do. This year that he made this film, he also made Interview with the Vampire and had equally long hair.
I actually just read up on that, that River Phoenix was supposed to be the interviewer in that movie.
And he died at 23.
So Christian Slater got the role. Uh-huh. And then Christian Slater took all of his earnings from that film and donated them to River Phoenix's favorite charities.
Oh my God, he's 55.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Not that old.
He's so hot.
He hasn't aged.
His big breakout role was Thelma and Louise in 1991.
Yeah.
And then in 1993, I think he made A River Runs Through It, which is basically the same movie with fly fishing.
Are those two movies related? Are those two books from the same person?
No, but they are. But he is. He plays a bootlegger in both movies.
Right.
And the wild son in A Group of Brothers.
So he's a typecast.
Right.
Yeah.
And like both River Runs Through It and Legends of the Fall would have been movies that were heavily in rotation in Wyoming because they're both like Wild West
wilderness films.
Wilderness films.
What did you think about his acting choices? Like the faces he made when he was before he stabbed Samuel. Brad Pitt makes some interesting character choices.
Wow.
I think.
Oh wow! And
Brad Pitt.
That was quite a shock when he stabbed his own brother and cut his heart out.
Yeah.
That was he had to. He had to, you know, get the heart back. That's how the Native Americans, you know, if he wanted one stab to still.
Yeah.
Help him out.
One stab also has The Shining, apparently, which is. You know, he could feel things happening within the constructs of their relationship, right?
That's right.
Because they would cut to him and he'd be like, something's happening.
So I actually did some trivia on this movie earlier today.
Let's talk about
that
trivia.
This movie was originally written for Sean Connery and Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Oh, I could see. Yes.
And neither of them did, obviously. So Anthony Hopkins and Brad Pitt rolled in.
Way better.
And I know, right? And then Julie Ormond, who plays Susanna, this was meant to be like her breakout role. Like they gave her this role thinking that she was going to break into Hollywood, but she had two other movies that came out that year that flopped. So Hollywood was like, next. And I know Gwyneth Paltrow auditioned for the role too.
She did.
And then who else was auditioning against Brad Pitt? Someone else.
Matthew Modine.
Who the fuck is that?
Matthew Broderick. Can you imagine Ferris Bueller in this role as Tristan?
Oh my God.
I actually couldn't really see.
Oh, Johnny Depp. They wanted Johnny Depp to play Tristan.
He turned it down.
And he turned it down.
He could do it. Johnny Depp could do that.
He could have done it then. I think Anthony Hopkins was fucking awesome in this movie.
He was not auditioning for the father.
What do you mean?
Johnny Depp?
No. I'm just saying, like, in general, their casting is rock
solid. Johnny Depp coming back as Jack Sparrow after his time abroad, riding in front of that group of Mustangs.
Yeah, he shows up on a ship.
And he's got all these, he's got dreads.
And eye makeup on. Come here, Suzanne.
Yeah. I'm actually confused. Did any of the whites speak the native tongue?
Yes,
I know Brad Pitt kind of did, right?
Yeah, they did. Cree? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Cree. That's
they,
right.
They just didn't... They only responded in English, but they all understood what one stab was saying.
It's like my younger brother.
Is he Cree?
No, Filipino.
Uh-huh.
He understands it and says a few words.
Oh, he speaks Tagalog?
No, to his nanny from when he was a little kid.
Oh, I was going to ask how that worked. Mm-hmm. Your little brother's just straight up Filipino.
He had like an accent as a child.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
A Filipino accent?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
A small little white boy named Harrison, he had like a full-blown Filipino accent.
He just sounded like Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah. He'd be like, let's watch TV, movie. And my parents weren't home and I used to remember we used to call our parents crying and be like, Harrison is speaking Filipino again. Come home. He's had a stroke. He'd like sit in like the housekeeper's room and just watch like soap operas in Filipino and like just like this, and he was like four, just like drinking Diet Cokes. And he's like, put movie on, and we're all like, no help.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Did you have a babysitter who was not Filipino?
No.
No. I'm just wondering if you had an accent as well.
I didn't. Oh, mine? I don't know. I'm 1 of 7.
Sure.
So that's why.
Yeah.
So my parents weren't home.
What number are you?
I'm 3.
Oh, wow, really?
So Harrison was the baby, so that's why he's like that.
Yeah. Can he still, like, flip into it when he needs to?
I don't think so. He lost it.
Oh, sad.
Damn it.
Yeah. Well, what do we have for like budget on this movie?
Yeah, $30 million.
Yep.
And then it made $160 million in box office.
Sure. You know, we talk about how long it was, but I wanted to see the spinoff of, I just wanted to see Tristan Abroad.
So you secretly loved the movie. You wanted to keep, you want more.
Well, what I wanted was different parts of it. So yes, I did. I just wanted to see the nautical version of this movie where he's out there harpooning whales.
And they should have just made it like a modern day, like a Fraser. Just like Tristan.
Yeah, it could have been a miniseries.
Yeah, just Fraser, but Tristan. He has like...
It's funny.
He lives in like a high rise.
Yeah, our lovable big game hunter with PTSD travels the world smoking opium and writing one sentence letters back to a woman that he's... What is it when you're not ghosting them, but you're keeping... You're
benching.
Like,
orbiting.
No, orbiting is when you just like kind of stay around their social circles. I guess it could be orbiting. I had a whole podcast on ghosting.
Really?
So. Yeah, ghost hunters. Find the guys that ghosted you.
So what technically qualifies as ghost? Just disappearing, right?
Yeah, you just kind of disappear.
No response.
Without warning.
Yeah, but benching is when you're keeping them in a rotation with just like a couple texts here and there. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can schedule those on mm-hmm. your calendar and be like, oh, it's time to blow on the embers of this relationship to keep.
Wow, yeah. That is very organized.
And then breadcrumbing is when you could just kind of lead someone along.
Wow. So we've got benching, breadcrumbing.
And then my favorite, gaslighting.
Uh-huh.
What's gaslighting?
Gaslighting is when you kind of make someone think they're crazy when they're not. You really fuck with them. Like, I dated this guy who I said was like Tristan, and he would text me. I would be like, what's up? And he'd be like, leave me alone, cutie.
Yeah, that's...
I'd be like, what?
That's a love stab.
I'm sick of you, XOXO. I was like, oh my God. It was really confusing.
I sure. can imagine. What was his deal? Let's talk about this dude.
That's I already told you about him. I actually, he's retired from talking about on air.
Okay, great.
I had to retire him. He's a super, he's a source of material. I hope to one day have him on my podcast, but you know.
Well, I don't know. So breadcrumbing is leading people on, though.
Yes.
And do you feel like Tristan was ever breadcrumbing?
Yeah.
I don't think you're breadcrumbing if you genuinely don't care one way or the other. Also, yeah, if you really...
Oh, breadcrumbers don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Boys don't give a shit in general. I'm gay now. No.
yeah. Everyone's guilty of all of those things, whether they like it or not. You've done that shit in the past. Orbiting, breadcrumbing.
Yeah.
Southpawing.
So was Tristan
I
like...
I did something like that. I did something kind of fucked up one day, and... A couple things, actually, in this one day. So I was like, you know, it was a Saturday night. I was just like, I got to hook up with somebody tonight. And so I sent out, like, you know, three feelers.
Yeah.
Three separate feelers.
Three separate feelers to my number one, my number two, my number three.
And, yeah, you're casting the nets.
Number three gets back.
My number three got back to me.
Right away.
So, and he kept texting. And then I was like, it wasn't my one or two, so I just blocked him.
Like blocked?
Blocked his number. So I was on stage, and he wouldn't stop texting. I'm like, honestly, I'm not interested. I was like, now I remember, so I blocked his number. I know, isn't that dark?
No, that's perfect. I mean, it's nice to know that, you know, there's validation that somebody responded.
Like, I just blocked him.
That guy got so fucking excited for like a 30-minute span, and he's like, why aren't they going through anymore?
That's like kind of gaslighting.
Yeah, that's a lot of things.
That's like really unwell.
That's all of them.
So,
it's actually all fucking five of those things.
It's insane. It's literally insane. I also broke up with him on FaceTime. Well, he was there. So what happened was, he was so annoying. He's probably listening. And he kept like bringing me croissants. And I was like, get out of here, bro. And get out of here, sir. And and he was like, I'm coming over to your apartment. We went on like four dates, mind you. He comes over to my apartment. I was FaceTime with one of my friends. I was like, I gotta like end it. I was like, how, I have to break up with someone I went on two dates with? This is insane. So I put my phone I put it on mute. I put it on FaceTime. They're still on FaceTime. I just put it on the mantle. And I broke up with him, and my friend watched on FaceTime.
Yeah.
And she was, like, taking screenshots of the breakup. She watched the whole thing.
That reminds me of the fucking Simpsons episode where Lisa dumps Ralph. And he's like, you can pinpoint exactly where his heart breaks. And he kept, like, rewinding and pausing.
Yeah, that was... I was not well. This was, like, a couple of years ago. This is the same exact guy that I blocked. After the breakup, like a year later, I texted 1, 2, and 3, and I was like, I'll just put this guy back in rotation. And
fucking Alfred.
And then I bought.
You know, in the beginning, when One Stab basically says that Tristan was Colonel Ludlow's favorite?
Of course.
I think that that's true. I think parents have favorites without question. I think you have to.
Like, yeah, as a human and you being. Should tell them because that makes the other ones work for it.
Huh.
Do you have an opposing?
No, I just. I mentioned. Did your parents tell you guys?
Oh, absolutely.
They did.
Yeah. Really?
Who was the favorite?
Of course.
Really?
You?
Yeah. Duh.
No shit.
Yeah.
Huh.
Then how'd you get into stand up? I feel like favorites don't really do comedy. Favorites are like just like doing something more important.
I think that I rebelled against having that responsibility.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, nope.
When did they tell you?
Huh?
When did they tell you?
Early on, I'm the first.
Okay.
So I'm the oldest.
Early on.
Yeah.
I was definitely the early favorite.
Yeah.
And then my sister beat me. They actually told her. They're like, we're kind of in awe of you compared to your brothers. I was like, thanks. And then she told me. I was like, thanks.
Well, your sister's super responsible.
She is.
She looks really well put together.
She's mad responsible.
Yeah.
Successful.
Yeah.
Good job, sis.
Yeah, she's doing great.
She's killing it. Great job.
Has a great boyfriend.
A fiance.
Sure. Yeah, yep. Leveling up.
Upgrade.
Yeah. And you're moving out of your place.
Exactly. Somebody got knocked up and I'm bouncing.
Kind of like Susanna when she sees Tristan.
Oh, yeah. She didn't even hide that Isabel shit at all. This is good. Let's spin family. This back into some other shit, movie-wise. But yeah, so she had to try to pretend like she didn't give a shit about Tristan, which she did poorly. Every time he was mentioned, she would basically start to cry.
Classic.
With her fucking back turned to her husband.
Classic.
Which I thought was really good. She's like, I'm so happy for him. I'm going to cut my hair.
You know what? All these people just needed some therapy.
Yeah. I feel like this is kind of what this episode turned into. Like a little therapeutic, we're getting skeletons out of the closet.
They needed a Frasier to show up in Montana.
Hell yeah.
Poor fucking Sebastian.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh my God. Stop bringing him up.
I didn't bring him up.
Should I text him?
Right now, on air.
I wonder if he's blocked. I have so many boys blocked.
Do you know, is there a list on your phone that's like block people?
Let's see
who
if I have people blocked still, actually. Do you block people ever?
I don't have to. I get a bunch of scam likely messages.
Oh, no.
Scam likely? Oh, from like a block service?
Yeah.
Oh, I do have one person blocked. It's, the one person I have blocked we actually spoke about. Not Sebastian, a different one.
Nice.
Who I retired.
Let's give him a call live on air.
And then I have blocked this other guy.
This is like Frasier.
This is Frasier.
I have one person blocked.
Yeah, totally. Well, so we've got to wrap this up today, and I just wanted to know, would you recommend Legends of the Fall?
I would recommend this movie more than anything in the entire world.
Yeah.
You would recommend it too, Sam?
I would. I mean, if you haven't seen it, it's a good watch. It's really well acted, and it's fucking sad as fuck. But it definitely worth watching. It's entertaining. It's got something for everybody. There's enough violence to keep men entertained. There's enough drama to keep everyone else into it.
Yeah, and obviously Gabe, not a fan.
It's okay. I mean, it gets 6 out of 10 bear claws, and it's what I...
The bear wins, which is the best part.
Yeah, that's my favorite part. I mean, if you want to see more, like if you want to see more dudes fighting animals, The Revenant or The Gray.
Dances with Wolves. We should have watched that. Has someone done that yet?
Not yet.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Dances with Wolves. Yeah, this fits into that category. If you like River Runs Through It and Dances with Wolves, you'll love this movie too. I feel like maybe it's an idealized version of the South, or the West, rather, like the history of the West. But if you watch it as a straight, like, romance melodrama,
do you think it's strange that I chose this movie?
No.
Okay.
This is different from most any other movie we've done on this podcast because it's a tragedy.
I also think it's a
tragedy. It is a tragedy.
I think it's a great vehicle for Brad Pitt, too. If you like Brad Pitt, this is a great Brad Pitt film.
It's what made him super famous, I think. This was his big...
And I have, I know people who, I have relatives whose friends name their little white kids Tristan, that were all born in like 95, 96. Yeah. So he clearly made a huge cultural impact.
Yep.
All right, guys, that was it. That's Legends of the Fall. Chloe, where can people find you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Chloe LeBranch.
Hell
and
yeah.
I post all my jokes and my podcast and my shows, so...
Right on. Sammy, anything important to share?
If you need silverware or dishes, DM me in the next day.
And I'm Gabe Pacheco. You can find me and everything having to do with me at GabePacheco.com. Thanks. We love you. Tune in next week for another episode of Eat, Pray, Judge.
Yeah. It's beginning to look a lot like wood. Follow my every step. Take notes on how I crept. I was about to go in depth. This is the way I creep my season. Here's my ghetto rep. I kept, to say the least, no, it can't cease. So I began to